This week in the presidential campaign, there have been new charges of smear tactics. Today brought the resignation of a lawyer for the Bush campaign, who also advises an anti-Kerry veterans group. Also today, former Senator Max Cleland appeared outside President Bush's ranch in Texas with a letter signed by 9 Democratic senators, all former veterans, asking the president to publicly condemn the Swift boat ads that attack Kerry's war record. To help us sort through some political news, we're joined by columnists E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
E.J., start with you first. We've been going around and around on John Kerry's Vietnam service, his military honors, his anti-war activities. Seems like a case of a very small media buy by this anti-Kerry group getting huge, huge, huge play.
There's something very disturbing about this because this group, which raised a modest amount of money, largely from old Bush contributors, managed to inject an issue that dominated the campaign for 2 weeks based on an advertisement that is now seen as being full of holes. And so it's a real question about how do you set the agenda for the media, and it's something I think the media have to ask themselves a lot of questions about. And the other question is, how much of a linkage was there between the Bush campaign and this effort? And what you've seen now is a couple of resignations of people who were part of both efforts. And I think that raises a real question when the president goes out there and says, John Kerry's service is honorable, but all these folks involved in this campaign somehow seem involved in this attack on Kerry's supposedly honorable service.
David Brooks, is that a legitimate point? Should we be paying more attention to what George Bush was doing during the Vietnam years in the National Guard?
Personally, I don't think we should be paying too much attention either. You know, John Kerry put Vietnam at the top of the agenda. He based his entire convention about it. There are dozens of veterans who are upset with how he served, with upset what he said afterwards. I think it's totally legitimate for them to have this debate, but it's not particularly relevant either way.
At some point, we're now about 2 months out from the election. Does the debate swerve back toward issues? I mean, we could be looking at about 1,000 U.S. troops killed in the war in Iraq by that time. Does that become the campaign issue, or are we still talking about Vietnam, do you think?
There's a lot of whiners in this country, and it's become a campaign about who campaigns dirtier than the other guy. And I think part of the problem, things that has changed here, is there are so many outside groups. And the outside groups are motivated by hatred and nastiness. And the outside groups, the 527 groups, are coming to dominate the campaign. And I think it's the job of both candidates just to ignore the outside groups and have their own campaign. I think President Bush has done quite a good job of ignoring the MoveOn.org and all those people who have leveled incredible charges against them. I think John Kerry would have been better served to have ignored all this and just gone on with his campaign.
E.J. Dionne, can John Kerry turn this back to the economy, back to the war in Iraq?
Well, I utterly disagree with David. That is it's a completely false sort of argument of moral equivalence here. I think Bush has a higher obligation in the case of this very personal and scarless campaign, which closely resembles the campaign that people ran on his behalf against John McCain, to come out and denounce this. To go to your question, it is very odd. We have a report this week on the prison scandal in Abu Ghraib. That should be at the heart of this campaign. Instead, we have spent 2 weeks because a group spent money on an ad talking about what happened 30 years ago.
The Republicans next week in New York have an array of moderate speakers at their convention. But if you look at the proposed platform, the language as it exists now calls for a constitutional ban on gay marriage, a constitutional ban on abortion. What is the Republican voice coming out of this convention, do you think? David Brooks?
Well, both parties become cross-dressers at convention time. The Democratic Party turned into the Military Valor Party, and the Republican Party is clearly going to try to present a more cautious voice or a more moderate voice, a voice, you know, more to many of our liking, but probably not the real voice of the Republican Party. I will say one thing in praise of the Bush administration. It is fair to say there is more disagreement and friendly disagreement on social issues in the Republican Party than in the Democratic Party. Dick Cheney, I think, had a very nice and gracious way to endorse his daughter's belief in gay marriage.
Vice President Cheney yesterday said that the issue of gay marriage should be an issue for the states.
Right, and I think he and the president have, you know, an honorable disagreement on that issue. I think Rudy Giuliani and the president have an honorable disagreement on abortion. And so I think it has become a party that has become much more tolerant of disagreement.
E.J. Dionne, when you hear George Bush at the convention next week, do you expect a bold vision for the next 4 years or essentially a message of I'm the commander-in-chief and let's stay the course?
They're basically going to do the first and try to pretend they did the second. I think it's fascinating. There's an old Ronald Reagan line that the right hand didn't know what the far right hand was doing. You're going to see the most moderate voices in the Republican Party speaking at the convention when they have very, very little power on Capitol Hill. I think one of the fascinating fights in this election is for the votes of moderate Republicans and moderate independents, many of whom have voted Republican. The Bush administration, for most of its term, has concentrated its energy on strengthening the base. We've heard that over and over again. Suddenly, a couple months from the election, when they're looking at the polls and looking at these defections in the middle, they say, well, we've got a problem. Last convention, they put up a whole bunch of minority voices on the platform, watched by very conservative white Republicans. This time, they're going to put up a whole bunch of moderate voices, watched in the convention hall by a lot of white conservative Republicans.
If I could just say something about the content of the convention. I and a lot of conservatives are becoming extremely disquieted by the lack of any aggressive policy coming out of the Bush administration on domestic policy. There have been hints that they might have something bold, but every time there's a hint of some sort of significant tax reform, health care reform, anything like that that would really get you interested in what might happen over the next 4 years, they seem to pull back and have the smallest, teeny tiny little proposals that are hashed over from 2, 3, or 4 years before. So I think there are going to be a lot of people on the floor who are going to cheer the president, who admire the president, like the way he's fought the war on terror, but who are deeply dismayed by the lack of any credible second-term agenda.
There's a huge police presence gearing up for anticipated protests in New York. And if it were to get violent, like the Chicago convention in 1968, what's the effect of that? Who does that hurt? It hurt the Democratic Party that was hosting the convention in 68. Is that the template for 2004, EJ?
I think there's a real danger for Democrats here. And if I were John Kerry, I would give a speech very quickly saying, we Americans do not decide our elections or our political issues in the streets. We don't decide them by violence. We decide them by people going to the polls. And I think if there is violence, the Republicans are going to exploit it. And I think there is a kind of marginal far left that would like to create a lot of trouble. I think that trouble is much more likely to work in favor of President Bush than it is against John Kerry.
David Brooks.
I would think for both parties, the main danger is extremists on either side will so alienate the middle they will cost their own part of the election. Whether it's Michael Moore or anarchists in the streets of New York or some outside activist group on the right running ads, I really think that some of the outside groups have become so vociferous that they do more damage to their own party than to the other side. And we could see that this election will turn on some outrageous statement or campaign launched at the end of the campaign, one way or the other, that will just drive honest-minded voters away.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Brooks of The New York Times and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution.